This is Line Break, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind the poems. Take a pause and enjoy the line breaks. Here's episode 11. Hi, I'm here with Crescent Moon, and she's going to read her poem, Empty Words. Go ahead when you're ready.
Sitting, looking at instructions that I don't know how to follow. Itching to start, but not understanding what I'm doing. Lifting my pencil and writing, vomiting, meaningless words onto the page. I don't know how I'm doing it. I'm just going through the motions. Just getting through it alive. I just write what I know that the teachers want to see. Not really understanding what I write. Just using keyword, freedom, journey, faith, love. Things teachers eat right up. Things that'll get me a good grade. And when I get it back, it's covered in notes. Good job. Excellent point. You are so insightful, but they mean nothing, and I scoff because I cut the corners. Not really cheating, but not really honest. None of it's honest, really. They just tell us, and we do exactly what they say. Following the steps, going through the motions, vomiting empty words.
Yay, thank you so much. This is a really great poem, and I think that we all find ourselves writing or creating what we think other people want to see, not what we actually like think or want to say. It's a struggle to say what you want to say when you feel like it's not true to who you are or what your actual opinions are.
Yeah.
Like, you think that you should be writing about, like, you know, this moment in history is so great because it shaped the future of beliefs and blah, 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 but that's not really how you feel.
Right.
But that's still what you think that people want to know.
Yeah.
Is that what you had in mind?
Yeah. Well, the thing is that this is my first year of ever going to public school.
Oh.
And it's just so different because I'm not writing for my mom anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm writing for teachers, and it's just been weird.
Yeah.
It's very different.
So were you homeschooled before?
Yeah, I've been homeschooled up until this year.
Oh, cool. I'm homeschooled too, and I have actual teachers, and it's kind of weird for me. It was weird when I got to high school because before I just had one teacher, and she would be like, oh, that's so great. I love it. You're great. That's so awesome. And then I got to high school, and my teachers were like, okay, you have to cite your sources. You have to put it in MLA format. You have to do this and this and this. So it was kind of like a big shock, but
yeah, it's very different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually quite surprised that I'm doing as well as I am because at home, I didn't want to write for my mom mm-hmm. because I felt like I don't really have to. There isn't a consequence if I don't do it, which I mean,
yeah.
There was, but it's not like you fail. So I didn't write very much. And now I got here. And I'm writing with deadlines, and that mm-hmm. it just encourages me. The panic encourages mm-hmm. me to write.
Yeah, I'm not that great with deadlines because I'm not used to them. And my teachers kind of let me submit whenever I finish the work. So I'm not good when I have to like finish this by today. And I procrastinate a lot too.
Yeah.
I'll put something off for a really long time if I don't want to do it.
Yeah. People in Tiny Writes were talking about how their time management skills are getting better. I'm like, I have time to procrastinate, so I will procrastinate.
Yeah.
I have more time to procrastinate.
Yeah, exactly. So, back to your poem.
Yeah.
Some lines that stuck out to me were, I don't know how I'm doing it. I'm just going through the motions, just getting through it alive. I think that this is a universal feeling of not really knowing like what you're doing or what it's going to lead to, but you're just going through, you know, the motions and doing what you think is right. And I think that while this poem is about like, you know, school and stuff, I think it's also universal in some parts.
Yeah, that part is very, I mean, you have to write stuff for people in the real world. Well, school. People always say that school isn't the real world, but it is real. But, yeah, like writing anything
or doing anything for anyone. You want to do, especially if you're like me, I'm a people pleaser. If you want, you mm-hmm. want to do what you think they want.
Like, yeah. And another line was, I just write what I know that the teachers want to see. And I can definitely relate to this because I've done it a lot before. If I'm not like completely invested in like a topic, then I'll just write what I think would be like a good answer. Like, okay, they're going to like this answer.
Yeah. A lot of the times my teachers like specifically tell us the stuff they want to hear. And I'm like, so I just write that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. A lot of what I write, because my curriculum is like Waldorf, is about like my opinions and like, is this ethical and stuff. So
yeah.
That part, I feel like I still kind of make my opinions so that they're like a good answer.
Yeah, I think after I wrote this poem after I had done one assignment and I submitted it and I wasn't very happy with it. And I got it back and I got a perfect score on it and it was covered in notes. And I was just so amused because I hated writing it and it wasn't good in my mind because I'm a perfectionist. And so sometimes it just doesn't feel good enough when I submit things.
And yeah, I get that all the time. Like everything I do, I sort of feel like, oh, this isn't good enough. I can always do it better. And next time I'm going to be better. And I have to make it better and all that.
My teacher once stopped me from working on something. She's like, just submit it. It's fine. Stop worrying about it. Just you're done with it. You're not allowed to write anymore. I'm like, okay.
That's so weird.
It was. I mean, I still got a good score on it because writing, I like to write.
Mm-hmm.
But I do. I get very worked up about things when I'm writing them and I don't want to be done with them because I want to make sure I will reread everything like mm-hmm. four or five times just to make sure that I got everything right.
Do you find it difficult to write like essays for school?
It depends on the topic and also like my mood, I guess, because if it's a subject or a topic that I'm writing about that's really enjoyable to me, then I find it a lot easier to write about. But if it's something I don't like, it's like, I just need to finish this. And exactly. I always feel like the more I write, the better it looks.
Yeah.
Because I see other people submitting things and it's got their paragraphs are like five sentences. And I'm like, we haven't even really written anything really long yet, which is weird. I thought the papers we wrote were going to be a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't written anything that's more than 2 pages.
Oh, I have to do like 3 or 5 page papers every so often. Oh. It's not that common, but still when I get it, I'm just so not annoyed, but it's like so mm-hmm. difficult for me to write about something that doesn't let me be creative. So right. If I'm writing about, like, an event or a book or this or that, then I'm just so not invested in it. And I have to, like, make an outline and talk about my topic sentence and all these other things. And usually when I'm giving answers, I tend to, like, stray really far from, like, the question. And so that's what I'm working on, is staying with the question.
Yeah, yeah, I love being creative with my work, but we haven't done that. Anything that's that creative, except we did one thing where we learned about all sorts of different types of governments, and then we had to create our own government like on a PowerPoint, and that was really fun.
Ooh.
But my government wasn't very interesting because I didn't want it, because it was supposed to be a government that would work well and be good for the good of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made this very, very balanced good government, and my friend created a government where drones kill people. I'm like, how'd you get a good score on this? This is not for the good of the people.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's creative. I wish I had been more creative about that.
Yeah, I get a good amount of creative projects, which is fun. And a lot of it is like create your own civilization or government or whatever. And that's definitely a lot of fun. I made a civilization, I think like 2 years ago for history. And the basis of my idea was that, because I had to think about like the structure and like, what would it physically look like? Mm. And how would, like, where would the public buildings be and all these other things? And then I came up with this idea of having like those things that bees are in. Honeycomb, I guess.
Oh, a hive?
Yeah, a hive. So it'd be like a hive, and it'd be like a hexagon, and then all these other hexagons that fit together.
That's so and cool.
I know, it was a lot of fun just to picture something like that. And then I figured out like how these people would get their jobs and how they would make money. And I think that I take in information better when I'm like being creative with it.
I like those kind of assignments that are like create like a government or a civilization. Mm-hmm. I think I don't know. I love the idea of just something, a civilization or government that's different than what we have now. I think that's the reason I like dystopian books, because a lot of my favorite books are dystopian books, and I love reading how like they get their jobs and how their lives work, what age, like even names in like dystopian books. Mm-hmm. Getting your name is like a whole big thing. Like my favorite books, like I love The Giver. The Giver is amazing. I love reading about all the different, like how they get their jobs, how all that. That's my favorite part, is just reading about how their society works.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. And it's really cool that the writers, you know, came up with a world that feels so real.
Yeah. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. My, speaking of worlds that feels very real, like The Lord of the Rings, like there is it's like an entire universe, and there's like so much detail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that kind of stuff.
I think I'm not into a lot of like science fiction books, but I really appreciate them because the amount of like detail and imagination that went into like creating the world and making it so real, it's just like bravo, authors.
I can barely create a character.
Yeah.
Let alone an entire universe.
Yeah. So, back to your poem.
Yes.
So what was the first line you thought of, and how did you build from it?
I think I thought of like the title of the poem, The Empty Word, because like I thought of it because I just experience things that I experience in my everyday life when I'm writing, and I'm like, these words have no meaning behind them, they sound really meaningful. Like I'm talking about how, oh, what was the last thing I wrote? I wrote about Odysseus and how he did stupid stuff, and I'm writing about how it's because of his human nature leading him to, I don't know, it sounded very smart and stuff. But I was like, I'm not putting that much effort into this. It really sounds stupid to me when I'm reading it, but my teachers, they eat this stuff up, and they're like, oh my goodness. So I actually, like the notes that in my poem, those are actual notes that have come back on my writing. Like, good job, great point, excellent work. You are so insightful. I've gotten all of those things and more on my different writing things. I'm like, I didn't work that hard.
Yeah, I've gotten that too. Like, wow, this is such a great point. Like, is this too easy for you? And I was like, no, I can handle it.
The one thing that I worked like the hardest on was this science project that doesn't get a grade because we're all at home now and we don't get grades or whatever. It was like this, we had to make a like graphic thingy to showing how evolution worked. And I chose peacocks and how natural selection, that's what it was.
Oh yes, I'm doing that for biology.
Peacocks with like more tail feathers get mates. And so I drew it with artwork, and I just got it back and it said excellent artwork, and I was very happy. But that's, I'm awesome. Sad I don't get graded on it, because it was pretty awesome and it was really fun to make.
That's really cool. I like projects with art too, and for my final projects I have a lot of creativity, so those are my favorite. So I'm very happy at the end of the year. And I've made murals before, well, not like on a wall, like on a very large canvas. And that was my favorite because I can just, like, be really, really creative. And it's a lot of fun because, you know, you're taking information that you learn and you're, like, understanding it, but you're doing it in a way that you like through artwork or writing.
I don't like using big canvases, though, because I feel like that's too much commitment to one painting. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
I like little tiny canvases so I can make a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I did with it was, I think it was like 24 by 36 or something. It was pretty big. But I divided it into three sections. And I did past, present, and future. This was for history. And it came out pretty cool. And I think it was better to have like the smaller sections than the one big picture.
Yeah, I have a hard time doing like a lot at once.
Yeah, I just get overwhelmed sometimes too.
Yeah, like my school has 1 week where we do all of our big summative projects, and it's like, couldn't we stagger these more? Because I had 4 projects that are going on my final grade today, and I am stressed out.
Yeah.
Now we don't have those, and that's kind of sad too.
Yeah, I think that every few weeks I have a big project, but it's usually just because I turn it into a big project. Like, I could probably get it done in a few days, but I drag it out like 2 weeks because I'm like, this is meaningful, this is important, and I make it like a really big project when it really doesn't have to be.
Yeah, we have formatives and summatives, and formatives are like pre-tests, and summatives are what goes on your actual grade. I don't know. As someone who has only started getting grades this year, the whole grading system is very bizarre to me.
I know, me too. It's weird for me with math because I'm technically a year ahead in math, and I'm not bad at it, but I struggle a little bit. And last year, I was getting C's, and I was like, what? Like, I've gone over this. This is, like, the second test I've taken with the same problems. And my dad looked at it, and we went over it together. Like, how am I still getting C's? So that was just really weird. But it didn't really affect my final grade.
My math teacher gets annoyed with me because I have no confidence in my math skills. So I come and ask her questions, but they're not really questions. I just go over to her, and I walk her through the entire problem. And she's like, so what's your question? I'm like, no, I'm good, thanks. I have my classmates, they do not like me because I like to work out loud in math. They're just like, be quiet.
I talk to myself too. My dad helps me with math a lot, but usually when I don't understand something, I'm like, okay, I don't understand this. You have to explain it to me. He reads like the first sentence of the textbook. And I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But it's really weird because I think that sometimes I just need someone else to feel like someone else is going to explain it, and then I can understand it.
I like to have someone looking over my shoulder, and which is weird because, like, in general, I don't like people looking over my shoulder while I'm doing something. But when I'm doing math, I just want someone. I need someone to like nod their head and be like, yes.
Exactly.
And I'm like, okay, I'm good.
Yeah, I'd like it if I could just like fill out a math problem and then turn and someone's just there like, yep, nice job.
Math is weird for me. I don't know.
It's weird though because I forget a lot that I'm technically a year ahead and that I was doing like sixth grade math when I was 9. It's just weird for me to understand that. Because I feel like I'm not good at it at all.
Yeah, my brother is in sixth grade, and he's doing geometry, and I don't know how to geometry proofs, and I haven't even done that yet. I'm like,
oh my gosh, I did those last year. They're such a pain. It's so annoying because it's like, prove this, because it has to do with this theorem and all this other stuff.
I'm not even doing that yet, and my younger brother is, and I'm like, he doesn't write. So we have our different skills.
Yeah. I'm doing algebra too. And I feel like it's just a review of geometry.
Mm.
It feels like it's really just the same stuff.
My school is weird. They don't follow like the same math courses as everyone. I'm in math too. I'm like, it's we have math one and math two, and then we go to algebra two, I think, or geometry, because math two is like geometry, and math one is like algebra one. Can't we just call it geometry and algebra one?
Right? It seems kind of weird.
Math one and math two.
I'm really happy because I have all three of the math credits that I need to graduate high school already, so I don't have to take one. I have to take one this year, this fall, but not my senior year. That's how it works. So I'm really excited about that.
I want to get all of my math out of the way, and I want to take an AP math so I can get a college credit, and then I don't have to take math in college because I'm not doing anything math related with my life.
I know. Me neither. That's why I don't understand, because my dad was like, oh, you're going to have to take statistics class. I'm like, well, if I want to be a writer, why do I need to learn about statistics? Like, am I really going to use that?
Yeah. I need to, there's going to be so many classes. I want to be a music teacher. Mm-hmm. Be a music teacher, you need to learn, like, all the instruments, even though I want to be a vocal teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to learn all the instruments. And that's a lot of classes, because there are a lot of instruments. Percussion has, like, all of them.
Yeah.
So I want to get math and science out of the way because I don't like them.
Good plan. Okay, back to writing.
Yeah.
What overall meaning do you think people should take from this poem?
I'm not sure because, I mean, I'm kind of, well, it doesn't really say that. I guess the meaning is that sometimes school is pointless. But I think every time I read this, I'm like, am I just writing that school is pointless? Because that's not a great message. But it's not pointless, but there's also, like, there's some things that could be better about school. There are things about school that aren't actually teaching us. Though, I mean, that's how it is after school, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just, I guess the meaning is that sometimes life is not the way, I don't know. I really don't know what the meaning is.
So would you say it's open for interpretation?
Yes, interpret my poem.
Okay. Okay, now this is kind of a tricky question. What meaning do you like to take away from this?
Well, I want the meaning to be that you should try your best when you're doing it and not do what my poem is saying and just write meaningless stuff, like write what you think about and something that's important to you, mm-hmm. but it's not always like that. So don't do what my poem says and write meaningful and stuff.
Okay. Some questions about writing now. How did you first get into writing?
Well, when I was like two,
mm-hmm.
This is going back a ways. I would write stories, and I'd narrate them to my mom, and she would write them down. I still have them. They are really stupid. I wrote a lot about this one girl named Rosalinda that I made up because apparently that was the name I liked the best. But, and then I'd illustrate them. And I wrote a lot of them, and I have all of them. And I guess I've just been writing. I liked writing a lot of creative stuff. Not sure when I first got into writing poetry. I think maybe third grade was when we did that. We did a poetry unit, which was really fun. And I got into writing poetry then, probably.
That's but really cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that I've asked this to a lot of people, and they all have different answers. But I feel like if I think back on my life, yes, there were certain parts when I was more interested in poetry and writing. But I feel like it's just always been a part of my life.
I've always liked to read. I probably get my love of writing from my love of reading.
Mm-hmm.
My mom tells me that before I could read, because I started reading pretty early because I made my parents teach me to read, because I would sit down on my floor with my books and I'd cry because I couldn't read them.
Oh, no.
So I learned to read quite early just because I wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I taught myself how to read. Because yeah. I have no memories of anyone teaching me, and no one has confirmed that they taught me. So,
yeah.
Pretty sure I taught myself.
My brother taught himself, and he did not grasp the fact that other people his age didn't know how to read, because he learned to read when he was like 3 or 4, mm-hmm. and he didn't know that other, because like once you learn to read, you don't remember not being able to read.
Yeah, so it's exactly.
weird that other people can't, because yeah. like I see words and I read them unless I'm not wearing my glasses and or contacts, and then I can't see them.
Yeah, like I taught my younger brother to read last year. He's 7, so he was like 6 when I was teaching him. Mm-hmm. And my mom's teaching him how to read now. But it was definitely interesting.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you just can't really explain it. Like, it yeah. just makes sense to you.
My 6-year-old sister is learning how to read, and my brother's very confused because he learned to read when he was 3, and he's always known that he learned to read when he was 3. And he's like, why can't you read? And she's like, she's being so stubborn, though. She doesn't want to read because she knows it's making him mad.
Yeah, my brother would get so mad at me sometimes because I think it's difficult, too, when your older sibling is trying to teach you something. Because then you're like, no, I can do it on my own. And so he would get really mad and be like, I'm never going to use this in my life. What am I going to have to read? And I was like, you're going to have to read every single day of your life. It's not That's a torture.
That's me with math. When do I have to do this?
Yeah. And I was like, no, you're going to have to use it a lot. So yeah. I think it was difficult teaching that because you can't really explain it. And also just because I was frustrated because I was like, why aren't you understanding this? And he was frustrated because he was like, why are you trying to teach me in the first place? But we did it, and he's a pretty good reader now.
Yeah. I think my sister can read better than she says she can. I think she's just hiding it because she doesn't. She knows that if we know she can read, she'll have to read more often. Yeah. Right now, she doesn't like it that much because my brother keeps wanting her to read. He's like, read. And she's like, no, because she's very stubborn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my brothers and I are pretty stubborn, all three of us.
Yeah. I once went, my sister, like, has a specific chair she likes to sit on, and I wouldn't move out of it. And so she sat on the chair, and we both sat on the chair for the rest of the meal. We both refused to get off.
I wouldn't say I'm competitive unless I'm doing something with my brothers. Then I get really competitive.
And I'm pretty competitive.
And I'm like, well, let your younger brother win. That's a nice thing to do. And then the other part of me is like, no. Win at all costs.
Yeah. I like to win.
Yeah, we have a lot of, well, not a lot of disagreements, but a lot of competition, I think, sometimes.
Mm. Yeah.
Most of the competition is just, like, who gets to watch TV.
Yeah, or who gets to choose what to watch.
Yeah.
My siblings will probably watch anything, because their TV is on, their eyes are just glued to the screen.
Yeah.
But it's always like, what are we going to watch? I don't see why they get in such a big argument about it, because whatever they watch, they're both going to end up watching it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to go in my room and write poetry.
Yeah.
I don't care what they watch. I can watch stuff on my phone.
That's a good mindset.
Yeah. So, it's always, we have Disney Plus, so it's like, what are on Disney Plus are we going to watch? I'm like,
I love that. We have it, too. It's really great. Okay. What influences your writing? Like, other books or poems, experiences?
Probably experiences, I would say, because I don't really write that much in the way of rhyming poems. I guess my style is mostly just, like, free verse and what sounds good to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I mostly write experiences, like Empty Words is definitely experiences. A lot of my other poems, I wrote a poem the other day because I was sitting in my room. I was like, what should I write a poem about? And the sun was setting and it was shining right in my eyes. So I wrote a poem about the sun shining in my eyes.
That's really great that you can just take something that you see in the moment and write about it.
Yeah. It's just like what strikes me.
Do you find it easy to write if you tell yourself that you're going to write?
No. Sometimes I pick up my computer and I'm like, I'm going to write something. And then I write something. And sometimes I pick up my computer and I say, I'm going to write something. And then I write like 20 different starts to poems and I never finish any of them.
Mm-hmm. What makes you go back to the poem after you've written it to, like, continue working on it?
I don't know if I... Mostly I write my poems in one sitting, but sometimes when I'm at school, or when I was at school... sadness. I would just... I'd write them during class, and they wouldn't be able to tell because I'd just be on my computer, and they didn't know what I was doing. I was writing poems. I don't usually work on poems, like, very long. I don't know. I just kind of write them in bursts. Like, I write one or two poems, and then I stop, and I write more poems. I don't know. I go back to poems, though.
Well, the other day, this is actually kind of a good example. I wrote this title because I was like, oh, that's a cool title, on my computer. And then I was like, okay, I'm not going to write it now. I'm doing something else. And then I was going over my math test with my dad. And then I was like, wait, that poem idea I just thought of, I've got the idea for it. So then I started writing the poem, and then I looked at it today, and I was like, oh, you know, this is actually pretty good. So I did a little bit of editing, a little bit of switching around, and then I was pretty happy with it. So it's just really interesting because I feel like that's a pretty common, like, way for me to write, is just thinking of an idea and then actually writing it, then editing it, and then being happy with it.
Occasionally I go back to my poems and edit them so I can get my community points to be in a multiple of 5. Because I don't like it when they're an odd number.
Oh, really?
I guess a multiple of 5 can sometimes be an odd number. But I like them because when I edit, then it's 3. And then it's all messed up. My brother was using the microwave, and he did something up for 23 seconds. And I was like,
oh my gosh, my mom does that.
30 seconds is perfect, or 25. 30 is the best, though, because it's an even number, and it's a multiple of 5. Perfect.
My mom did 29 seconds on something, and I was cringing. It was so bad.
Oh,
how can you do that? Oh my gosh.
Oh goodness. It's like you're, I don't know. I had an analogy or whatever, but yeah. I forgot.
So, what books have really touched you?
Books, let's see. I have a lot of books. The Giver. I love The Giver. It's an amazing book. Everyone should read it. Wonder. That's a really good book. The movie's good too, but the book is better. Book is always better. Those are my two, like, main, like, touchy books, but, like, I mean, I read the Harry Potter books all the time, but they're not really touching. Sometimes I feel secondhand embarrassment from them, but they don't really. I'm like, have you ever experienced that? Like, when a character does something stupid and you feel embarrassed for them, and I'm like,
yes.
This happens a lot in Harry Potter because Harry does lots.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, oh no.
You know, like, in movies, when their character, like, in horror movies, the character, like, opens the door, or they walk upstairs to, like, right to the killer. Like, they go right to them. When they have, like, a clear way to escape, they go right to the killer. That's what it's like in books for me. And, like, I can't look at it. I physically can't read it. I'm like, no. I can't read about this. This is terrible.
Yeah, I don't like that. But, yeah, Giver and Wonder. Maybe A Wrinkle in Time. A Wrinkle in Time is good.
Oh, yes, that's really good.
I like a lot of very classic books.
Mm-hmm. I think the classics are the classics for a reason.
Yeah, I love classic books. Most of my books are very, very well-known books. Most of the books I read.
I have way too many books. I have so many. It's ridiculous. Probably 350 or more.
I have a lot of books, though. Sometimes they get kicked off the shelf because I haven't read them in a while, and then I immediately want to read them again. And I'm like... Because last summer, I sold some books at a yard sale because we were moving and I hadn't read those books in a while. And I was like, I'm getting too old for these. I'm buried. But now I'm like, where can I find these books? Because I need to read them again because I forgot how they were. her.
Yeah, and my mom says every few weeks, she's like, are you sure there isn't anything you want to donate or sell? You can get rid of some of the books that you don't read. I'm like, no, they're my babies. I could never get rid of one of them. I could never abandon my children. That would be terrible.
I like getting rid of stuff. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't like clutter. So unless it's a book that I know I'm going to read like so many times, then it goes away and then I'm sad.
Yeah. My desk is really, really messy.
My desk is covered in art supplies right now.
Because you just said that. I was like, oh man, you would cringe if you saw my desk. Because it's a really big desk, but there's no space on it right now.
Yeah, my desk is covered in art supplies right now.
That's fun, though. That's good.
Yeah, it is fun. Art supplies and a lot of random junk, like earmuffs. So, and an ugly mug that I made in, like, sixth grade.
So, what poems that you've written stand out to you? Like, what are your most memorable poems and why?
Definitely Empty Words, which is why I read it. I don't know why that one stands out to me, because it has 14 loves, and and appreciation from other people really makes me happy. So that's why that one stands out. What was that? I don't remember what it was called. It was the first one that I did that ever got daily read. It was for the nonverbal challenge. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't remember what it was called. It's Silent Aid. That's what it's called. And it got the cover, or the daily read, and I was really happy.
That's awesome.
I think it was the first one I had published, too. And I was really happy.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it was like my fourth poem or something. And I was like, oh my goodness, people are reading my poetry and they like it.
I know, it's a really good feeling.
Like, sometimes I write a poem, and I think it's really good, and then it doesn't get any loves or anything. And then sometimes I write a poem, I'm like, oh goodness, that was... I don't know why I read that. I wish I could delete it. And then it gets like so many people love it. And I'm like, weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. People are weird.
Yeah.
And then recently I've done a lot of photography.
Mm-hmm. And your talk show.
And my talk show. I need to make another episode of that.
So how did you come up with that idea?
I was bored and I wanted to talk to someone, so I was kind of just talking to myself about random stuff that I talk about. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, hey, I could just record this and be like talking to a person. And so I just like, I wrote it down on my phone, and then I sat down and I recorded it, and I talked so fast, and it was fun. It was really fun to make. I just kind of talked about random stuff that happens in my life. I have to be in the right mood to do it, though. I have to be in a really crazy, like, goofy mood to make that. Last few days, I was feeling a little down, so I was like, I can't do that. But I think I will probably, if I have more time, we'll make some more.
Yay!
so many random embarrassing life experiences to talk about.
It was fun because it reminded me of this, and it was like, just something fun.
Hey, I got inspiration from this. Didn't know that you could record, and then I found that you could record audio directly on Young Writers Project. I was like, oh, do that.
So, speaking of the podcast, what do you think of the podcast? I always love to hear what people think about them.
I love the podcast. I love it when a new episode comes out, and I'm just like, I get to listen to it, because I like to listen to it. And I'll have Young Writers Project opened on two tabs, so I'll have one playing the podcast and then one while I'm writing poetry. It gives me good ideas for poetry too, because I'll listen to someone read their poetry and talk about how they get ideas for their poetry. I'm like, that's a good idea.
Yeah, right.
Inspiration from the other people on here. Like,
someone said the other day when I asked them what they thought of the podcast that my voice isn't that annoying, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's the best compliment ever. Because my biggest fear when I started this was that people would just hate my voice and be like, oh my god, not that girl again.
It's weird, because when I made my talk show, like, a lot of the comments were like, I love your voice. And I'm like, cool, I know I have a nice singing voice, but I didn't know my talking voice was fun to listen to.
Yeah. It's really funny, because I feel like my voice especially is kind of weird, because I don't enunciate a lot of my words that much. And so that's something that I'm working on when I'm, like, reading poems, because sometimes I just, like, go right through the words. and you can't really hear what I'm saying. So I thought people would be like, this is a great concept, but I don't know what you're saying. Which would be kind of sad, but... So, what makes you really love a poem that you write?
Probably, like, that it if it means something to me. Like, this one means some stuff to me because it's just, it's my life. And if it especially if it's based on a real experience, I really, that makes me very happy to write about something that's really real to me. And and also if it has a lot of good vocabulary words. If it's got some nice, long, smart-sounding words in it, that makes me happy, which is kind of funny because we're talking about empty words. I like long words. Long words are my favorite. Vocabulary words, love them.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me, because we've been talking about creative schoolwork and stuff. I used to do this thing with my vocabulary words when I'd have, like, a list of words I had to define where I'd use them in a story. Oh, and that was really fun. That was my favorite.
I did a thing. I had a co-op group with my three best friends, and we had a thing where we had to find, we had Greek and Latin roots, and we had to find common, well, not common, but English words that have that root in them. And then we got a dime for every word we found. And then at the end of the year, we used those dimes. We went rock climbing, which was not that fun. I'm terrified of heights. But it was fun because I got to hang out with my friends.
That's really cool. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It was. We did it multiple years. Another year, we went to an art museum in a fun park, which I talked about in my little talk show.
Fun. So what makes you really love a poem that someone else writes?
When I read other people's poems, I especially read them, like, if the title catches my eye, like, I'll be like, ooh, that's a cool title. And then I read it. And if it, sometimes, it's funny because I like poems either because they remind me of stuff that happens to me that I personally experience, or if they show me what someone else experiences. Like, either of those things is really cool because it's cool to look at other people's experiences. Oh, there was this, I was watching this. Oh, yes, this that reminded me of something else. I was watching a video of an author talking about her book, Where the Mountain Meets the Moon. And it was a really good book. And she was talking about how books can either be a window or a mirror. They can show you something else that you're not familiar with, or they can show you yourself. And I thought that was really cool. And I see that in poems too.
I definitely agree. Yeah. I think it's interesting because I feel like that's very true, is that, but sometimes you don't realize it, like, as you're reading a book or a poem, you don't really realize that this is, like, wow, this is me. Because I finished a book, I can't remember what the book was, but I finished it and I was sort of, like, thinking about what had happened and the main character, and I was like, you know what, that character is literally me. Like, that is me in a character. The thoughts that she had, the struggles that she had, and, like, all these other things that she was thinking about and struggling with, that was all, like, me. It was so weird because I was like, oh my gosh, we're so similar. And, like, that's why I love the book so much, because it was so much a reflection of who I am. Yeah. But now I can't remember what it was.
And you read so many books you don't remember.
I know. So, a few more questions. Okay. How did you discover Young Writers Project, and how is it a part of your life?
Well, one day at lunch, I was sitting with my friends, and I said, I love poetry, because my friend had been reading her poetry to us. And I said, I love writing poetry, but I never know what to do with my poetry after I've written it. And she was like, well, let me tell you. And then she... And she told me about Young Writers Project, and I joined, and then I wrote, like, 8 poems that day. And now I'm on here, now that we're home all the time, I write poems on here. I'm on here for multiple, at least an hour every day.
That's great. I post the podcast every week, but I think that for a little bit I was forgetting about my own writing. So I posted some of my own writing today. Really excited about them. I like those poems a lot. And it's always fun to share new poems because I feel like it's really important to get feedback and it's fun to hear what other people have to say about it.
I love getting positive feedback. It makes me so happy.
Yeah, even constructive feedback is good too, because then you can feedback. Yeah, then you can realize like what you have to, you know, what you can do to make the poem better. One more question.
Okay. This is fine.
Okay, this is an important question. What would you tell your younger writing self?
Oh, goodness. That is a hard question.
I know, right?
I would probably tell my younger writing self to, I guess, not to be afraid of what you're writing. Like, because sometimes when I'm writing, I'm like, is this too deep? Is this too personal?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. And I'd also tell my younger writing self to write more, because there are a couple years where I didn't really write that much. I would start things and I wouldn't finish them. Mm-hmm. I tell myself that writing is important, and don't be afraid of what you're writing.
That's great. I have a lot of things I would tell my younger writing self, but I think I would say that your writing is just as important as other people's writing, and not in a very like selfish way, but for a while I felt like my writing wasn't as important as the writing, because I'd go to open mics and everyone else would be like older than me and they'd have like these really mature poems, and I think that, wow, mine isn't nearly as important as this. But now I realize everyone's writing is important. My writing was important, and it still is important. And yeah, that's what I told myself. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Yeah, this is fun.
This has been episode 11 of Line Break. I hope you enjoyed, and stay tuned for episode 12. Bye.